talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was the fifth divinely appointed Imam among the household of the Holy Prophet. He was the son of the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, alayhi salam. Now all historians and traditionalists of Islam are unanimous that among the descendants of Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn, a maximum of religious sciences were expounded by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. That is why the title of al-Baqir was given to the Imam, which denotes one who splits knowledge. Imam al-Baqir contributed greatly to the science of Quranic exegesis, scholastic theory, religious law, and Islamic jurisprudence, among many other subjects.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and I'm invited by Brother Mahdi to this segment of the program. Today, I'd like to read to you a passage about Islamic lifestyle according to Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This passage is extracted from a book titled The Life of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, written by the great Iraqi Muslim historian and scholar Allama Baqir Sharif al-Qurashi. This great Muslim scholar and historian was born in 1344 AH in the city of Najaf. He's well known for his books on the biography and conduct of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please stay with me. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, said, "Assume the truth. Leave that which does not concern you. Avoid your enemy. Be careful of your friends, except the trusty ones who fear Allah. Do not make friends with the sinner. Do not inform him of your secrets. Ask the advice of those who fear Allah."
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Imam Baqir alayhi salam urged his companions on many different occasions that people should treat other people according to the rules of social conduct, these rules that Islam has prescribed for the perfection and the harmony of humanity and of human beings. When Imam al-Baqir was speaking with one of his close companions by the name of Jabir al-Ju'fi, we find that Imam al-Baqir, when speaking about these social etiquettes prescribed by Islam, he tells Jabir al-Ju'fi that a man should be loyal to his brother as he is loyal to himself. It's a very beautiful statement here in this conversation between the master and the student, the teacher and the student, where we learn that a human being, a person, should be loyal to their brother as they are loyal to themselves. Now, this isn't talking about a blood brother specifically or limited to a blood brother. This is talking about our brothers in faith, our brothers in iman, our brothers in Islam, who say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad al-Rasulullah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. These are our brothers. Now, we should be loyal to them as we are loyal to ourselves. For example, we wouldn't cheat ourselves, we wouldn't lie to ourselves, we wouldn't backbite ourselves, we wouldn't deceive ourselves, we wouldn't want to hurt ourselves physically or spiritually. And likewise, we cannot do any of these things with our brother. A very beautiful statement here from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam when talking to his companion Jabir al-Ju'fi. A human being should be loyal to their brother as they are loyal to themselves.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Saudagar.
The methodology that Imam al-Baqir presented to the Muslim Ummah that affected and influenced and was able to preserve and bring closer to the track and tracks of the Holy Prophet, what he laid down as the tracks for believers, the path, the true path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. This methodology was something that brought everyone closer to that path. In addition to that, bits and pieces of the actual words of the Prophet, there's plenty of fabrications of what the Sunnah of the Prophet was and what the Sunnah of the Prophet wasn't. So that is a we have very similar conditions. I'm talking again, this is not in the broader community of Muslims. I'm speaking even in regards to the Shia community. What are the teachings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt? One speaker with an amama, without an amama, says, ulama have made a mistake. This is what Ali ibn Abi Talib said. That is what another person says, ulama have made a mistake. Or they don't say, ulama have made a mistake. This is what the hadith means. This is what we're supposed to do. This is our approach towards governments. This is our approach towards this. This is, Muslims need to do this in the West. Muslims need to do that. We have the problem of racism in our communities. Don't go out and protest it out on the streets. Don't support those protests on the streets. Let's create protests within our centers against our I don't know what. And this is what Islam says. All these different views about what the Quran says. All these different presentations about what the sayings are. Now, here we have a compound problem here. And that is that the majority of the Muslim community and the majority of the Shia community do not speak Arabic. Even if they do speak Arabic, they're not too familiar with the classical Arabic. And that leaves a lot of room for a lot more confusion. So the conditions that we have are the conditions very similar.
Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
limelight.
As Brazil's COVID-19 death toll surpassed 500,000, at least hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets of more than 400 cities across Brazil and around the world to blame President Jair Bolsonaro for the green pandemic milestone and demand his ouster. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Brett Wilkins, writer. This article is published under the heading, Bolsonaro Out, Massive Protest as Brazil's COVID-19 Death Toll Tops 500,000. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. As Brazil's COVID-19 death toll surpassed 500,000, at least hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets of more than 400 cities across Brazil and around the world to blame President Jair Bolsonaro for the grim pandemic milestone and demand his ouster, chanting and holding signs with slogans including Bolsonaro out, 500,000 deaths, it's his fault, and vaccines now, protesters called for the resignation or impeachment of the far-right president. Demonstrators also implored the government to ramp up vaccination efforts. On Sao Paulo's famed Avenida Paulista, protester Dona Nuza held a sign reading, Bolsonaro killed my brother. He took every precaution, but he died of COVID because he wasn't vaccinated, Nuza told Red Brazil Actual. Last August, Bolsonaro rejected batches of immunizations that could have already been applied to millions of Brazilians. According to Folha do São Paulo, only 15% of Brazilians are fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, a sore point in a nation that prides itself on its historically successful vaccination drives. At a massive protest in Rio de Janeiro, federal lawmaker Benedita da Silva of the left-wing Workers' Party, PT, told Brasil do Fato that there are 500,000 people dead due to the negligence and denial of Bolsonaro. Thousands of people are no longer getting a plate of food. Thousands are unemployed, without oxygen, in hospitals, without assistance, said da Silva. We are on the street to defend our country, our people, our lives, our culture, our education, our economy. We can no longer die of COVID or starvation. In addition to Fora Bolsonaro protests across Brazil, solidarity demonstrations were also held in cities around the world, including Barcelona, Berlin, Helsinki, London, Los Angeles, New York, Tokyo, and Vienna. Dubbed Trump of the tropics by some of his opponents, Bolsonaro has dismissed COVID-19 as a little flu, which refusing to follow or promote mask-wearing, quarantines, and social distancing despite having contracted the virus last year. Bolsonaro has also encouraged large gatherings and disparaged vaccines. Last month, lawmakers launched a probe of the president and his former cabinet ministers to determine who is responsible for the country's botched pandemic response. At the recent demonstrations, former Health Minister General Eduardo Pazuello and former Foreign Minister Ernesto Araújo were blasted for delaying negotiations for the purchase of COVID-19 vaccines. Economy Minister Paulo Guedes was also condemned by protesters, some of whom demanded emergency aid payments of about $118 for the duration of the pandemic. With about 100,000 new daily infections and around 2,000 people dying each day from COVID-19, Brazil is currently suffering the world's second deadliest outbreak after India. The Ministry of Health reported 2,301 new deaths recently. Bolsonaro, a former army captain who has waxed nostalgic for the country's former U.S.-backed military dictatorship, has been beheaded by political, public health, and environmental crises amid an emerging progressive consensus for his impeachment. Jornal do Brasil recently reported leftist parties and former allies of Bolsonaro are preparing to file a super request for impeachment that combines all 121 previous impeachment filings against him. The super request accuses Bolsonaro of 21 different crimes, including offenses against the nation's political existence, hostility against foreign nations, obstruction and threats against lawmakers, subversion of political and social order, incitement of the armed forces to illegal acts, and failure to protect Brazilians, including indigenous peoples, during the pandemic. According to Poder Data poll published on May 27th, 57% of Brazilians support Bolsonaro's impeachment.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Ghayra in Islam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Ghayra, sometimes transliterated as ghayra, is an Arabic word which means a person's dislike of another's sharing in a right which belongs to the former. It has a sense of earnest concern or zeal over something and can be considered a kind of protective jealousy. If you want to understand what ghayra is, there's no translation, so to speak, in English language. It is an Arabic word. You can, probably call it a protective jealousy. So it's a positive thing, right? In Islam, there are different kinds of ghayra. That which relates to Allah and which relates to a Muslim. Allah's discontent is with sharing and obedience of his servant, which rightfully belongs to him. So if Allah's servant is being disobedient to the enemies of Allah, this is where you can say that protective jealousy comes into the picture, right? This is not something appropriate for a believer to do. You cannot be subservient to Allah, His Prophet, His Ahlul Bayt, and Islam, and the teachings of Islam, and at the same time be subservient to the enemies of Islam, to the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, to the enemies of Prophet, to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two don't reconcile. For a Muslim, it is the uneasiness in his heart which moves him to guard his family from indecency. If you go and inspect Surah An-Nisa of Quran, verse number 34, you see the instances of that. If you go to Surah At-Tahrim of Quran and look at the verse number 6, you will see instances of that, which we don't have time to cover here. But do go pick up the Quran and look at these two verses to understand ghayra, the concept of ghayra in Islam. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are talking about ghaira, or sometimes pronounced as ghira in Islam. It's an Arabic term which we said can be loosely translated to protective jealousy. Now, the foundation of the religion is this ghira. And the one without ghira is one without religion. For ghira protects the heart and enlivens the limbs and shields one from evil and lewdness. And lack of ghira kills the heart so that the limbs die, so that there remains not even shielding from the minor things. And this is where you see people who do not have ghira, they commit sins so easily, right? Who lack ghira. And the example of ghira in the heart is the example of the strength that shields one from sickness and fights it off. So if the strength leaves, he will be faced with the sickness and will not find anything to protect himself from it. So it will establish itself within him and destroy him, right? See how important this ghira is in our decision making. Sometimes, you know, people make decisions that make you wonder and you become surprised at what happened to this person's ghira. How in the world can he allow his wife, his daughter, you know, his other family members, his cousins, to act in this lewd manner, right? Sometimes we wonder, some of our friends, maybe some of our acquaintances, maybe making those wrong decisions. But how do we interpret those decisions? It is through the concept of ghira, the concept of protective jealousy, right? And this is something which is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parsetoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program's to my brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: ما قال الناس لشيء طوبى له إلا وقد خبأ له الدهر يوم سوء.
Imam Ali stated, "For everything to which people say, 'How good,' there is an evil hidden in this world." Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us on the program. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib alayhi salam. So one of the great lessons and interesting things which we learn from the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the fact that we should be very careful in testing the afflictions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning don't incur upon yourself the wrath of Allah by testing divine punishments. So one day Imam Ali alayhi salam was preaching a sermon on the pulpit on the mimbar, and while preaching the sermon on the mimbar he says, "I am a servant of Allah and the brother of His messenger. I have the honor of marrying the Lady of Paradise. I am the leader of the believers and the successor of the last prophet. No one can boast of it except me, and whoever has such a claim will be saddened by Allah the Almighty. While Imam Ali had said these things, a man from among the crowd, who was from the tribe of Abs, rose up and protested to what Imam Ali had said, and mockingly said to him, "Who is there who cannot have such a claim? I now say that I am the servant of Allah, and I am the brother of His Messenger, and see, I have not been afflicted with any distress." Hardly had the man finished his words when suddenly a strange insanity afflicted him, and he started trembling all over, up to the point that he had to be dragged out of the mosque by his feet. Allahu Akbar, dear friends, a very profound and very scary lesson. We should never test the divine punishments. We should never test the divine wrath. For at any moment, it is possible that Allah inflicts us with something that we cannot save ourselves from. An excellent lesson for life and death, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
وقتی شخصیت امیرالمومنین رو بشناسی در مقابل او خضوع میکند.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil. Ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, "Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger." Protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. For protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm Atta, the producer of the program To My Brother, and at this moment I invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Fayyaz Jafar. I hope you enjoy it.
And when we go towards seeing the instruction of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam toward Malik al-Ashtar, amongst the main themes and advices that he gives them in terms of being a leader is telling him, O Malik, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging you by the way that you rule over your subjects, and that your subjects are being judged by their relationship with you. What is that supposed to mean? In Risalat al-Huquq of the Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, he says something really similar. He states that it is the right of the leader to know that when he or she takes the position of leadership, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging the leader by the way and by his dealings with the subjects. Every conversation that we have, every communication, every dealing in any circumstance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being vigilant over that relationship. But in the same way, if someone is acting unjustly, if someone in a position of leadership is not fulfilling their responsibilities toward their community, toward their society, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing the subject to see what sort of changes are they going to make. What sort of amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar are they going to perform? So Malik al-Ashtar is being advised by the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, again, just to be really vigilant of every single one of his dealings.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
the limelight.
While the Biden administration vowed to end Trump's practice of expelling unaccompanied minors, the practice persists for children from Mexico. Dear listeners, please stay with us for an article in this regard written by Ryan Devereaux Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Biden administration is routinely sending Mexican children back to danger, report finds. Here's more. The Biden administration is presiding over the systematic and illegal removal of unaccompanied Mexican children seeking asylum at the border, according to a new report, with thousands of vulnerable young people returned to a country that has experienced staggering levels of violence in recent years. The report published by Amnesty International recently comes just days after Vice President Kamala Harris, in her first foreign trip since entering office, visited Guatemala and Mexico, where she told would-be migrants and asylum seekers not to come to the U.S. and that they would be turned back if they did. As legal experts and immigrant rights advocates were quick to point out, seeking asylum is a right protected under international and domestic law. According to interviews and data obtained by Amnesty, the U.S. and Mexico have engaged in the systematic violation of those laws in their treatment of unaccompanied Mexican children, 95% of whom were returned to Mexico over a six-month period, often without a screening to determine whether they face threats in their home country. Brian Griffey, the author and lead researcher on the report, said that when his team began working on the project in early 2020, the plan was not to focus on unaccompanied Mexican children. One of the things that surprised us when we were down there speaking with Mexican authorities was to find out that the vast majority of unaccompanied kids that they were processing in shelters and such were actually Mexican kids being returned by the U.S., Griffey told The Intercept. This is clearly a protection gap through which the U.S. Border Patrol is pushing tens of thousands of unaccompanied Mexican kids back potentially into harm's way. In Ciudad Juarez, the sprawling border city opposite El Paso, Texas, Customs and Border Protection returned 750 unaccompanied Mexican children from January to May of this year. This compared to 744 in all of 2020 and 1,283 in all of 2019. The Amnesty report said Juarez was experiencing nearly 100 murders a day during that same period, with May marking the deadliest month of the year in the city. Shelter managers in Juarez told Amnesty researchers that they had reported to putting some of the children returned by the U.S. into hiding, given the threats they faced in Mexico. Many border cities in the north of the country, the localities where the U.S. removes people to an regular basis, are among the most dangerous, particularly for migrants and asylum seekers who are often targets of extortion and kidnapping. One in every three migrants and asylum seekers from Central America and Mexico is a child, and half of them are unaccompanied by family members or other adults. Amnesty noted in its report, adding that Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has said that more than 80% of those children have family members waiting to receive them in the U.S. The fact that almost none of the tens of thousands of unaccompanied children being processed by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, or ORR, have been Mexican nationals showcases the Biden administration's failed promise not to turn away unaccompanied migrant children to the same threats of harm that they fled, the report said, referring to the Department of Health and Human Services office responsible for unaccompanied children who cross the border. Since March 2020, the U.S. has enforced Title 42, a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention rule pushed through by Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's hardline anti-immigrant advisor, with the onset of the coronavirus. Under the rule, border authorities have assumed the power to rapidly expel individuals encountered between ports of entry and the borderlands without any semblance of due process or a hearing, and regardless of whether they're exercising their right under domestic and international law. More than 867,000 expulsions and counting have been carried out since the rule went into effect, raising the possibility that the Biden administration could preside over the millions expulsion to result from the most sweeping border enforcement initiative of the Trump era. Unlike the Trump administration, which booted at least 13,000 children back across the border under Title 42, the Biden administration has largely stopped using Title 42 to expel most unaccompanied children. Yet Amnesty found that Mexican children seeking asylum are facing a different reality, with border officials using a separate law, one ostensibly designed to protect vulnerable youth, to systematically remove unaccompanied Mexican children from the U.S. The administration does not deny the policy. On the contrary, in an interview with an El Paso television station last month, President Joe Biden, Assistant White House Press Secretary and Immigration Advisor Vidant Patel said, "The policy right now for the Mexican unaccompanied minors is for them to be repatriated through that process." As Amnesty noted, the policy was further confirmed in a joint HHS-DHS report documenting the number of unaccompanied youth in government custody. In a footnote, the document said this number does not include children from Mexico, most of whom will be repatriated and will not remain in CBP custody. From November through April, roughly one in five of all unaccompanied children apprehended by the Border Patrol were Mexican. In May, CBP informed Amnesty that it had returned more than 10,000 of those children to Mexico, while referring only a few hundred to ORR. In total, unaccompanied Mexican children were returned to Mexico more than 22 times as often as they were transferred to ORR after being apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol, Amnesty found. Unaccompanied Mexican children were therefore returned to Mexico in approximately 95% of cases after being apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol. The report added that the systematic forced returns of Mexican children by U.S. authorities often happened without the legally required screenings of the children for fear of return to Mexico, which are supposed to ensure they are not being returned to harm or are victims of human trafficking. Amnesty says that border authorities are misusing a provision in the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act that applies only to Mexican and Canadian children and prohibits the U.S. from sending them to dangerous conditions.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer, Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
گرد چشم خدا بینی ببخشند نبینی هیچ کس عاجزتر از خیش.
In a famous Persian poem we read, if you are given the divine eyes, then what you see inside yourself is all a needy person. In our religious traditions we are recommended to avoid suspicion and pessimism towards Allah. The Holy Prophet of Islam stated, the biggest sin is pessimism about Allah. Being pessimist means consider Allah, for example, as an oppressor. This pessimism towards Allah is nothing but a satanic thought or a type of ignorance. That is because there is no imperfection in Allah and He is the source of all perfections. All knowledge, wisdom, power, and mercy are rooted in Allah, and His attributes are unlimited. Therefore, Allah has no shortcoming, and we humans cannot be pessimist about Him.
کسی که سوء ظن به خدا داره بدبین هستش هیچ رحمت خدا رو نمیتونه جذب بکنه هیچ چیشو.
The person who is cynical about Allah cannot at all absorb His mercy and kindness. Now, this does not mean that Allah does not send His mercy to His creatures. No, this means that such a person is incapable of absorbing Allah's favors upon himself. If you threw a ball in the ocean, no drop of water will enter the ball. This is because the ball is enclosed and has no place to absorb the water. However, the ocean is still full of water. Allah's kindness is like the ocean, limitless and forever. The person who is pessimist about Allah cannot absorb Allah's favors and mercy. When a person has no hope in Allah, he cannot reach Allah's blessings too. Therefore, we must not be pessimist about Allah's mercy at all. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/EN. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.